بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم، اما بعد. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we once again continue listening to the different episodes and incidents in the lives of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love they had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear they had, the hopes they had, how they held onto the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sacrifices they made, and how they persevered in this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the communion they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the du'as they would make, how they refrained from sins, and how happy and joyous they would get when they would engage in dua, in supplication, in salat, ibadat. So alhamdulillah, by listening to these incidents and episodes of people who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it gives us also some inspiration, motivates us to try and bring some of these aspects in our lives as well. Inshallah, today we discuss the first one is the evil effects of sin. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala said that there are 10 evils that are connected to a sin. And the very first one he mentioned is that sin invites the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment a person makes a ma'asiyat, a guna, a sin, then he is inviting the azab of Allah ta'ala upon him. And he is pleasing Iblis, the accursed one. So he is making Allah Ta'ala naraz, and he is making Shaitan happy. So let us ask ourselves, who do we want to make happy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Shaitan? By committing sins, what are we in actual fact doing? We are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has commanded us to do certain things. Allah has prohibited us from certain things. Now by flouting the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are going to make Allah Ta'ala angry. So sins draw the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, and they make Shaitan happy because he wants us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who commits sins, he distances himself away from Jannat. Those who have iman and have a'mal saliha in their lives, in other words, they stay away from sins, then they will gain entry into Jannah. But a person who commits guna, then he is keeping himself far away from Jannah. And he gains proximity with Jahannam. So he's getting closer to Jahannam. He has polluted his soul. He's contaminated his batin, which was pure before the sin. This heart of ours, the soul, was clean, it was pure. But we are polluting it, we are contaminating it by sin. Therefore, Quran Sharif says, كَلَّا بَلْغَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Whatever sins men commits, that it causes the heart to become blackened. The hadith of Rasulullah says, when a person commits a guna, and he does not make tawbah istighfar, then one black dot appears in his heart. And when he persists in sins, then that black dot grows larger and larger and larger until it covers his entire heart. And when the person's heart is covered, and this is what Allah Ta'ala talks about, kalla bal rana ala qulubim, like rust, the heart becomes corroded, becomes rusted, becomes heavy. And therefore Rasulullah has taught us, Allahumma aati nufusana taqwaha. O Allah, give our souls its piety. Wa zakkiha. And purify our hearts. Anta khairu man zakkaha. Anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. You are the best of people. You are the only one who can purify our hearts. Our hearts have become contaminated. Then when the person commits gunas, the angels who are writing out the sins. So then he distresses these angels. He has distressed the angels who are in his attendance. Then he causes grief to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the qabr, when Rasulullah is being given the news of our amal, what amal, what deeds we are committing and performing, then imagine he's being said that this ummati of yours, these are the gunas he's doing, it will cause him such pain, such grief. Then a person by committing gunas, he has made the heavens, the earth and all creation witnesses of his evil deed. You're committing guna. So if you are alone, that land has witnessed that guna. Those angels have seen that guna. The heavens have seen that guna. And if you did it in public, then even more people are witnessing that guna. Therefore, ulama say that when a person makes tawbah, then he must go to that place where he committed the sin, if it is possible. If it's possible, go to the same place where you committed that guna, and or near there, and you turn your gaze to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make sincere tawbah, so that that piece of land does not bear witness against you on the day of Qiyamah. When a person makes sincere tawbah, he cries to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that's not possible, you can't go, there's no harm in that. Wherever you are, but when a person makes sincere tawbah, then Allah ta'ala makes those angels who wrote out the sin, Allah makes them forget. All the people who witness that sin, they also forget. It's wiped off from the books that you committed the sin. When you make sincere tawbah to Allah ta'ala, that's the effect of tawbah. So this is what we're discussing, the effect of sin. But at the same time, we talk about the ilaj, and that is to make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person commits guna, he has disobeyed Allah Rabbul Izzat, he has earned Allah ta'ala's displeasure. He's making shaitan happy. He's causing distress to the angels. So many people are witnessing that guna, and his soul is becoming polluted and contaminated. Allama Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned many, many other things and harms of a person committing sins. And amongst them he mentioned when a person commits guna, and this is taken from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a person commits guna, then even the barakat of his rozi, he's deprived of it. Person is making so much of effort and is acquiring halal rozi, but you are depriving yourself of the barakat of that blessing because of sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq and hidayat of understanding the harms of guna. And this refraining from sins, every single alim, sheikh, mufti, wa'iz, person who gives nasihat, bayan, every khanka, every person mentions the same thing, that we have to refrain from sins. And this is the struggle, this is the test that every one of us are faced with, that we have to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram upon us, we have to refrain. If a person slips, then immediately person must turn his gaze to Allah Rabbul Izzat, make the dhikr of Allah ta'ala, make tawbah istighfar, and make amends. And then continue this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, out of his infinite mercy, he's so kind. Allah has never mentioned, if you disobey me, then the doors of tawbah are closed for you, and you'll never be forgiven, and now you're doomed for Jahannam. No. Allah gives us respite and chances right till maut comes. Right till maut, he gives us chances to make amends. Allah is so kind. And Allah forgives us all the sins we committed, provided we are sincere, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore this thing about staying away from sins and understanding the harms of sins, this is something that we should be pondering and reflecting over every single day of our life. Because all the time we are living in this world, and all the time we are going to become attracted and tempted. And remember, nafs and shaitan, the whole plan is to mislead us. So this challenge is there all the time. Therefore, if we have the harms of sins in front of us, Allah Ta'ala is becoming naraz with me. I'm going to be away from Jannat. I'll be getting the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. Shaitan is going to become happy if I commit gunas. I'll be deprived of halal rozi. So all these things will make a person become alert, and he'll become more conscious of the fact that he has to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refrain from all sins. And when a person does all this, then he'll experience the real sukoon of the heart. The coolness of the heart. Hazrat Jabir bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala was in his last illness. He was asked if he had any desire. He said, I wish to once more see Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu came, he asked Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu, "O Jabir, how is your condition?" Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu responded, "By the command of Allah, maut is soon to happen. I'm now passing away. So narrate to me a hadith which you have heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Imagine, these are Sahaba, right till the last moments, they would want to hear the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's asking for some advice. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu said, let's listen very attentively to this. He says, if a mu'min who is on the road of piety towards Allah ta'ala, if a mu'min who is on the road of taqwa, piety towards Allah ta'ala, if he repents, then Allah accepts his repentance. If he errs and seeks forgiveness, Allah forgives him. When he presents an excuse, Allah accepts his excuse. The sign of this is that before the soul of a mu'min departs, he experiences a coolness in the heart. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us that coolness of the heart before maut overtakes us. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala said, "Allahu Akbar, indeed, I do perceive such a coolness in my heart. O Allah, I desire reward from you. Fulfill this desire. Remove fear from me." When a person is passing away, at that time, the hadith of Rasulullah encourages us to have husna dhanu Allah ta'ala. At that time, we have full hopes in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, you are so great, you are so merciful, you are so kind. I am weak, I was a sinner. But Allah, I have high hopes in you that you are going to make me successful and make me pass the examination in this world. Then he recited the kalima shahadat and his soul took light from his body. So these were the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They felt this coolness. They felt this coolness and they passed away in this condition. Once a man said to Hazrat Zunnun Misri rahmatullahi, these names Zunnun Misri rahmatullahi, Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi, Hassan Basri rahmatullahi, Akbar Kurdi rahmatullahi, you'll hear all these names, these are the Salaf al-Salihin. They came after the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Many were tabi'in and tabi'a tabi'in. So Zunnun Misri rahmatullahi alayhi says this. Once a man asked him, "Hazrat, what should I do? Give some nasihat. Whenever I present myself at the door of my master, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a calamity and trial befalls me. Whenever I'm trying to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever I present myself at the door of my master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then some calamity and trial befalls me." So Nur Misri rahmatullah says, "Oh my brother, now this is a pearls of wisdom. And by listening to this attentively, inshaAllah, it will remove from our lives a lot of parishani that we experience, and distress, and discomfort, anxiety, depression." Many people write and they say that trying so hard to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gain that closeness to Allah Rabbul Izzat. But things don't seem to come right in our way. This challenge, that trial, that tribulation, that parishani. And so Hazrat Zunnun Misri rahmatullah says, "Oh my brother, cling to the door of your master, like a small child clings to its mother." Let's picture this. Is he cling to the door of your master, like a small child clings to his mother. The mother beats it at times, but the child clings to her until she lovingly hugs him. Exact like that. We are turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This so-called beating of Allah ta'ala is the test that Allah ta'ala puts in front of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us go through this type of examination. Some trial will come, some tribulation, some pain, sometimes some sickness, sometimes some loss in some property, business, child, this problem. But all the time, what Allah ta'ala wants you to do? To overcome this test, to cling onto Him. And then what happens? Just as his mother lovingly hugs him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens his doors of marifat, forgiveness, wilayat. Then you become a great person. The lesson we have learned here, never tire of dunya and struggle in the path of Allah ta'ala. Come what may, continue the struggle and move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with obedience. Can't expect to come in this dunya with no tests whatsoever. No person passed through his studies in school or college, university, and became a doctor, lawyer, alim, mufti, or anything. without any tests and examinations. Every day there is a test. Yes, sometimes the test is severe, sometimes it's very light. Sometimes we find there's no real test. After some time again there's a test. So Allah Ta'ala is observing us. When there are no apparent tests in our life, Allah is saying, are we still praising Him? Are we still turning to Him? In times of prosperity, have we forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it only when we, in times of adversity and pain and suffering, then we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this happens to most of us. When everything seems so rosy and so nice, we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we're not doing long, long nafil and long, long dua. Then tilawah too has been reduced. But the moment some parishani comes, then of course we're increasing everything, because we realize only Allah ta'ala can help us. But at all times, times of happiness and times of difficulty, Allah wants us to turn to Him, so cling onto this door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never, never, never let go. No matter what the problem may be, sometimes it seems that everything seems against you. And life seems so miserable. Of course, if a person stays away from guna, and he makes tawbah, istighfar, and he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely Allah ta'ala will make an opening for him. But if we're living a life of ma'asiyat and we persist in gunas, and we don't bother about the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how are we going to get Allah ta'ala's mercy? So we want to get happiness in His life, but we're not prepared to leave out sin and abandon sin. So Allah ta'ala will not give you that happiness. And those people who are living a life of ma'asiyat, guna and evil and filth, and apparently it seems to us that they are enjoying life, that is only respite from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives them rope, and suddenly when Allah ta'ala seizes them, then their life is not spared. Then they are destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point here is that we should never tire, never become tired of making dua, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We give sadaqat. When a person is in difficulty, give sadaqah. It repels, it wards off evil, calamities. Person is in suffering some disease, Allah Ta'ala gives shifa. But whatever pain the person endures, is actually wiping out the person's sins. And we don't realize that now you're becoming closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So cling onto this door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't leave this door. Don't leave this door. Shaitan wants you to feel so mayus and lose all hope. Become despondent, and it puts things in your thoughts, in your mind, that see, you tried so hard, and you went to every alim in the world, and every ta'weez person you went to, and you cried so much, and you did, but nothing coming right for you. There are so many people who are looking for suitable partners, so many young girls, have waited for such a long time, and no good proposal came for them. So then they lose hope. They feel, well, something's wrong, nothing's happening for me. Allah Ta'ala, out of His wisdom, no, sometimes a person may not get that marriage partner. And the person will live in this world without a partner. So Allah will still test the person. Are you still living a chaste life? But Allah has got something more, greater in store for you in the akhirat. And then the person will only realize that sometimes we desire things. So a person has to be patient, has to hold on. We do not know how to beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the problem. Just a little few days we'll stand there by the door of Allah ta'ala, and then afterwards very quickly we'll see results, and when the results don't come, then very quickly we lose hope. So just as a person standing at the multazam, he's got his chest attached to the multazam, and he's got all the opportunity to cry and beg and make whatever dua he wants. How you hold onto that ghilaf of the Kaaba when you get the chance? At that time, you don't worry about anybody else, as long as you made it there. And then you want to stand as long as possible. Like that, here we stand forever. We don't leave this standing by the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In form of ibadah, dua, supplication, turning, munajat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely open the doors. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And I mentioned previously, when the doors apparently seems closed, but then when you go closer and Allah Ta'ala opens it for you, then the doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they are wide open, it's not like the doors of this dunya, that after a few days it closes, Allah Ta'ala opens His doors, and we see such favors of Allah Ta'ala pouring upon the person. Hazrat Ali bin Abi Salih rahmatullahi alayhi was wandering in the mountain range of Lakam in the hope of meeting some wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In those times, people should go in pursuit of seeking some friend of Allah ta'ala. And they would take long, long journeys just to find some friend of Allah, some wali, so that they may get some spiritual benefit. We will look for some wali of Allah, some buzurg, so we can get some barkat ta'weez and get some dua for this pareshani. No. Yes, we will ask people for duas, pious people, you ask for duas, but we only go to them if there's some problem at home, some musibat at home, some pareshani. We don't worry about our spiritual self. That is far more important. That how do we connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the only time we worry that Maulana or that Shaykh is up, and some musibah, the wife is troubling, or husband is troubling, or we got this marriage problem or that problem. So for our spiritual self, we are neglecting it. So Hazrat Ali bin Abi Salih rahmatullahi was looking, wandering for some sage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Suddenly, he saw a man sitting on a rock. His garment was full of patches. He was a very simple person. He was looking at the rock deep in contemplation. After greeting Hazrat Abu Salih, he said, "Oh Shaykh, what are you doing here?" He said, "I watch and guard. I watch and guard." So he said, "You are staring at a rock. What are you watching? What are you guarding?" So the Shaykh responded, "I watch the thoughts of my heart. Watch the thoughts of my heart and guard the decrees of my Rabb, whatever Allah Ta'ala has decreed for him." And then he tells him, he asks this person, asks for nasihat. So the Shaykh says, he who remains steadfast on the threshold, the divine door, and that's what we have discussed just now, that cling onto this divine door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our Mawla, he is our Aqa, he is our Master. Don't leave this door. At all costs, stay there. He says, remain steadfast on the threshold of this divine door. Whoever has done so, then he has proven his service. Then you're real abd. The whole purpose in this life, we are all abd, ibad. Allah wants to see from us abdiyat, servitude, that we are the slaves of Allah, bondsmen, bondswoman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fact that we remain there, we did not run away, we did not escape, it proves that this person now, he's proven his service, his servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He who thinks of his sins and he regrets, and he makes tawbah, he has displayed true remorse. And he who has become independent of others by virtue of his dependence on Allah alone, then he has no fear of poverty. It's a very important point this, that if we become independent of people, why? Because we realize our total dependence is only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who provides. He's the one who gives. He's the one who sustains. So your tawakkul is not on makhluk. The moment our reliance is on people and creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when you let down, then you really suffer depression. It becomes the end of the world for you. But if your tawakkul was only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and any makhluk has to let you down, it means nothing. So a person who becomes independent of others, by virtue of his dependence on Allah ta'ala, he has no fear of poverty. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of making amal on all these beautiful lessons that we are learning. May Allah ta'ala strengthen our iman. May Allah protect our iman. And there's a dua for protection of iman. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi, you know the famous hadith kitabs, Bukhari, Muslim, amongst them is Abu Dawud, Nasai, and Tirmidhi. So Tirmidhi, Imam Tirmidhi, rahmatullahi alayhi, the renowned muhaddith, he has compiled thousands of hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Extremely pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, great ulama they were. So he says that once he saw Allah Rabbul Izzat in his dream. How fortunate to see Allah ta'ala in your dream. How fortunate to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your dream. So he supplicated in the dream, now he's asking Allah Ta'ala. He said, "Oh Allah, I am fearful of losing my iman." Allah Ta'ala then instructed him to recite the following dua between the sunnat and the fard salat of fajr. So between the sunnat and the fard of fajr, then read the following dua I'll read it slowly, inshallah. Not difficult. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. We all know that we read it. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram. So, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram. As'aluka an tuhyiya qalbi binuri ma'rifatik. As'aluka an tuhyiya qalbi binuri ma'rifatik. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Muhyi Al-Mawta. What does it mean? Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Hay and Qayyum are two sifats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O you who are all alive and established. O Allah is self-sufficient. Allah does not depend on any other person for His existence. So Allah ta'ala is all alive. He's Hay and Qayyum. He's established. O you who are the one of grandeur and munificence. Ya Dhal Jalal. Jalal. Grandeur. Ikram. One who bestows a lot. One who is munificent, he is so generous. As'aluka, I ask you to enliven my heart. An tuhyiya qalbi. Qalb means heart. Binuri ma'rifatik, with the noor of your recognition. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. You are the one who gives life to the dead. Ya muhyi al-mawta. Oh, the one who gives life to the dead ones. So in other words, don't let my heart become dead. Keep my heart alive. When your heart is alive, we're talking about the spiritual heart, then your iman is intact. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us more to iman. May Allah ta'ala keep us with iman. Therefore, in this dunya, this whole dunya is for a few days. And the greatest challenge is the dunya. In the hadith of Rasulullah is mentioned, Inna dunya hulwatun khadira. This dunya is very, very juicy, and very, very lush and attractive. I normally give the students the example of a beautiful toffee apple. When you're young, you should eat toffee apples. Look very red, glossy, very attractive. And the moment a person takes a bite, sometimes you find that the apple was extremely sour, or you look inside, it's rotten. But it looked very attractive, looked very nice. And that is dunya. The moment you bite into dunya, you realize there's so much of poison in dunya. Then you see those same people who promised you this, that, everybody abandons you. You thought you'd make such a great investment, suddenly such a big loss. You thought you'll have this pleasure and that treasure, nothing happens. This is the ghaddari of dunya. Dunya deceives a person. So, inna dunya hulwatun khadira. It's attractive, it looks nice, it looks juicy. Allah Ta'ala has made us as vicegerents in this dunya. But Allah Ta'ala wants to test us to see what type of action do we produce. Are we becoming obsessed by this dunya? Are we becoming consumed by this dunya? This should not be the case. Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali, a very great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali had a great fortune and his tahniq, when a child is born, you make tahniq. His tahniq was done by Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And his mother was the servant of one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was the khadima, attendant of one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hasan Basri rahmatullah, can you imagine what type of home he was born in? When he was born, so this wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the azwadi mutahharat, she took him to Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radhiyallahu anhu. So he makes the tahniq of this child, Hasan Basri Ramadan. And he gives him two duas. Allahumma faqihu fi deen. O Allah, give him the understanding of this deen. Of deen. Ya Allah, this child, make him a great faqih, a jurist. One who gets a true and complete understanding of your deen and shariat. Wa habibhu ila nas. Make him beloved in the eyes of the people. Hasan Basri Ramadan Ali lived and he grew up in the company of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. He's a tabi'i. He gives a lot of nasihat. And this nasihat is about dunya. He says, O son of Adam, you have a life of this world and the life of the akhirat. Don't barter away life of the akhirat for the sake of this worldly life. By Allah, I have seen such people who have preferred the worldly life over the life of the akhirat. They were destroyed and humiliated. We have seen so many people ourselves. So many people. they have competitions or the desire to be what on the Forbes list, the richest men in the world. We can take 1 billion qasams that not a single person, no matter how billionaire he may be or how, whatever word to express his wealth, how wealthy he may be, and he can be number one on that list. How much does he take in the qabr with him? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. So what has he accumulated? For who has he accumulated? What has he done? And for how long he'll remain on that list? Till he's alive. The day he's gone, finish. He's out of the list. Nobody wants to see him again. You see, so many people were destroyed and humiliated because of dunya. Oh, son of Adam, sell the world in lieu of the akhirat. Then you'll gain benefit of both this world and the akhirat. But do not exchange the akhirat for this world, for then you'll be disgraced in both. Oh, son of Adam, if you have accumulated a treasure for the akhirat, then no calamity will harm you. And if you are deprived of the goodness of the hereafter, then no comfort of this world will benefit you. O son of Adam, this world is a vehicle. It's a conveyance. If you mount and drive it, it will convey you to your destination. But if you carry it on your shoulders, it will destroy you. That's what we're doing. We're trying to carry this dunya on our shoulders. Instead of driving in this dunya and letting it take us to our akhirat destination, we have become so courageous and so brave that we want to carry this vehicle on our shoulders. What's going to happen? It will destroy you. O son of Adam, you have been pawned in lieu of your deeds. You will reach mort. You will be then ushered into the divine presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you stand before Allah Rabbul Izzat, establish your treasure for the akhirat as best as you are able to. You will see it at the time of your mort. O son of Adam, do not immerse your heart in this world. Do not immerse your heart in this world. If you do, an evil parasite will consume your heart. Stop wherever you are in the world. Do not proceed with your headlong plunge into this worldly abyss of destruction. Now, this is so important for all of us that we sacrifice our akhirat for the sake of dunya. Whereas it should be the other way around. We should be sacrificing the dunya for our jannat. As Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, the nice incident. Again, we don't have time to discuss on each sahabi. As Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu was a very, very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, he lived the longest as far as lifespan is concerned. And it is mentioned that when he married a very wealthy lady of the tribe of Kindah, after the nikah, he went to a house. He's standing at the door, he calls for her. There was no response from the house. So he asked, "Can you hear me? Are you deaf? You've got a problem in hearing?" She responded, "Oh, Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm neither dumb nor deaf. However, brides are modest. Brides are modest. Hence, they did not speak quickly." Now, let us put ourselves in this dunya that we're living in today's time. Brides are modest. Where is the haya today of brides? Long before they married, all that haya is broken. Gone. Through the internet, through the chat line, and through this Twitter, the cell phone, and so many things. There's no haya left. That one zamana, our grandparents and grandparents had seen, there was so much of barakat in the nikahs. Why? Because they were full of haya and modesty. And the bride, when she, on her nikah day, she used to be so bashful, so full of haya and modesty, that when the husband would come into the room, she used to be tensed, because the first time some ghair mahram is going to put his eyes on and gaze on her. And she's not used to sitting alone with a man. He was a stranger. Okay, now he's going to be a husband. And they had so much of haya and respect. They wouldn't call their husbands by their first name. So much of respect they had, so much of haya. You will still see sometimes if you go into some shopping place from a distance, even elderly woman, even though she may not be in hijab, but she'll see some person with kurta, beard, she'll try and cover her face with a scarf. But look at the young girls today we see. Besides revealing their bodies, they have got no respect whatsoever. No modesty. Just flirting with boys. And young boys are flirting with girls. Where are they spending the hours, the extra hours, or the weekends? This is a reality. Parents are blind to it. Oh, we have reached such an ebb that we are so scared and we cannot say a single word. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Mubarak to those youngsters, young boys and young girls who are treading the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are worried about themselves. They attend majalis program, they listen over the receiver, or they worry about learning Quran and Hadith and becoming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they would always question and ask good questions, so how I can change my life, and how I can reform myself, and how I can please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to live a life of purity and chastity. Otherwise, majority you will see. The type of language, such loose, foul, indecent language, when they're chatting with friends. They don't even realize when they're writing to an alim or to a scholar, because they're so used to writing that type of language and using such type of names, they don't realize. They've got this modesty, haya is gone from our lives. Rasulullah has therefore mentioned, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. When you have lost haya in your life, then do whatever you want. Do as you please. May Allah Ta'ala keep us at haya. So the brides of the past, they had so much of haya in them. So she tells us, Salman Farsi radiallahu anh, a bride, she has modesty in her. She can't just speak so quickly. So Salman Farsi radiallahu anh entered, he was taken aback by the opulence of the house. Very wealthy woman. House was embellished with expensive carpets, silken veils, and luxury household goods. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anh, if you know about his life, he was a zahid, ascetic. No taluk with dunya. Now he's saying all this. He comments, has a fever overcome your house? We dare tell the new boy, tells his bride, first thing, call her father. Break off this nikah. Has fever gripped your house? That you warrant all this covering of the Kaaba Sharif. Covering, just like how the Kaaba Sharif has been covered with ghilaf and curtains. You just got fever? Look at our homes. We just got a wall, no window even. If you got a window, okay, you got a curtain. There's a normal wall draped with a curtain. For what? Allah knows best. This is all Israf. So she said, oh Sahabi of Rasulullah, nothing of the sort. Normally, the homes of brides are usually adorned. Okay. So of course, she mentioned this, doesn't mean we must adorn our homes and not have lavish parties. At the call of the bride, servants hastily laid out food. Salman Farsi said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, whoever sleeps on soft and luxury bedding, he dresses with garments of pride, rides on beautiful mounts of ostentation, and consumes very delicious food, will not even smell the fragrance of Jannat. The bride said, O Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are my witness. I contribute the entire wealth of this house in the path of Allah Ta'ala. All my slaves are free in the path of Allah Ta'ala. I shall live with you a life of simplicity. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu said, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon you and may He aid you. Now which wife will tell her husband like this? These people, their tawajjuh was on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The gaze was on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person is giving, the husband is giving good advice. Immediately she accepts, she doesn't question him. She don't say, let's go check with the different muftis and alims first. Very common today. And Allah forbid if a person is not strong himself, and because he's got very strong ties with that wealthy family, then that Mawlvi Sahib can also slip. Allah protect us. Allah protect our iman. Allah protect us when we give an explanation or an answer or something. Allah give us wisdom and help us to give the correct answers. We should not become influenced by the wealth of people. So Salman Farsi, one hadith of Rasulullah, it was sufficient for her. She said, I give everything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have young couples getting married, and it is so sad that, mashallah, nikah takes place in the masjid, And dua is made for barkat and afiyat and all those things. But the very next thing after that is a lavish function. And thousands of money is being wasted. Then there's so much of intermingling. And the life is not full of taqwa at all. And I promise you, not even a few days after that, the next thing you hear, that is all over. Or they're pareshan. Now they go to this alim and that mufti. Allah protect us. It can happen to any person. Allah mahdika wa hifazat. But this is becoming so common. Why? We have not put Allah Ta'ala in the equation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is our goal. Allah is our maqsood. Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be prepared to live the life that Allah wants from us. Don't worry what people will say. Many people have forsaken the wealthy lifestyle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see what sukoon they enjoy, what happiness they enjoy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal on these beautiful advices of these pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala make us also His pious friends. Nothing is impossible. No matter what our condition is, it's a matter of seconds. And Allah changes the heart and condition of the person. And Allah accepts the person. Allah draws the person towards Him. And Allah says that He is my friend. Finish. And the whole world can come together and try and cause you harm. No harm will come to you. And the contrary, if Allah says, this is my enemy, the whole world can come together and try and benefit you. They won't be able to benefit you. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Today is the first of Muharram already. Now it's a new year and we don't celebrate New Year's. There's no question of giving hadiya and gifts and all those things. And there's no happy new year. This new year is a new Islamic year. The first of Muharram already. Yes, we should contemplate on how we are going to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And reflect how many years of our lives has already gone by. And take lessons like on the 10th of Muharram, the things that took place, the authentic things which have been mentioned. And reflect on what was all this. Becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the roza that we'll be keeping 9th, 10th or 10th and 11th, we should try and keep roza on those days and make tawbah istighfar. As the Yunus alayhi salatu salam's people, Allah ta'ala forgave them. Why? Because at the last moment, they got that hidayat, they were sinning. But when they saw those clouds coming quickly, they made tawbah istighfar and Allah ta'ala forgave them. So don't wait for the clouds of darkness, of wrath of Allah ta'ala to come. We have the chance now. So make tawbah istighfar and make this resolution that we now begin to come closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our life is not like the rest of the people in the world. They will party, they will dine and wine and jump and celebrate and do some strange things. No, we are believers. We have a pure deen. A deen full of Allah ta'ala's pleasure and nur and barakat and rahmat. Therefore we should turn to Allah ta'ala. Not enjoy and have celebrations and all those type of things. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.